Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who call on his name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that very same purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. So far our text. Sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Lord, what must I do? Last week we saw the incredible growth of the church in Jerusalem, the many signs that the Lord did through them, and how he added to that church multitudes of both men and women, how they lived in peace and love and forgiveness. And we asked ourselves the very natural question, how can we be more like them? Today we see the beginnings of that great missionary of the early church, St. Paul. How the Lord took him from a life of sin and molded him and created from him one dedicated to the Lord, and how the Lord did many wonderful things through him. And we might again well ask ourselves, not how can we as a church be more like him, but this week a little more personally, how can I be more like this man? To serve the Lord through trials and temptations with joy and dedication my whole life. True, not many of us probably want or have opportunity to travel the world preaching Christ and planting churches the way that Paul did. Nevertheless, if we could be more like him, greater in faith, greater in the Holy Spirit, able to argue with those who doubt, showing them from Scripture how Jesus is the Christ. If the Lord would do even a small part through us of what he did through the Apostle Paul, how great wouldn't that be, not only for ourselves, but also for the church. As we heard last week from the voice of Moses, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And so we consider this morning not only what Jesus did through and for Saul, who became Paul, but what he might do for and through us, so that we might have even a small part of his Spirit. Of course, the task of Paul in his life begins, his life as a Christian soldier begins, of course, with repentance. And we see Paul's repentance in the words of the theme this morning, the words of our text, "Lord, what must I do?" These words are a complete repudiation and a complete rejection of everything that Saul had been and done up to that point. Saul was born to rich parents in a wealthy city of the Roman Empire. He was educated in the best schools of that empire. He dedicated himself to the Lord and was sent to study under Gamaliel, not only one of the greatest rabbis of that time, but one of the greatest rabbis in the history of the Jewish people. And he set about what he thought to be the work of the Lord with great zeal. I'm sure his parents were proud of him. I'm sure his parents told all the neighbors, "Look at what our son is doing and accomplishing." And he thought himself to be a great servant of the Lord. Yet here and now, the Lord opens the eyes of Saul to see the truth, to see for the first time who and what he truly was. And he cries out in repentance, "Lord, what must I do?" These are the words of one who is a great sinner and knows it. One who's tried everything himself and by his own reason and effort and thought that he was accomplishing great things and had dedicated his life and had worked hard, and now all of a sudden realizes that all the work and all the great things that he credited to himself and thought that he had been doing were nothing but a pile of stinking rubbish, worse than nothing. They were great sins against the Lord and against the Lord's people. "Lord, what must I do?" Paul says. What can I possibly do to make up for the terrible things I realize now I've done? What can I possibly do to move forward in service of you? I thought I was serving you and I was so wrong. Something very similar happened to Joshua, that great hero of the people in the Old Testament. Soon after his victory over Jericho, although it was not his victory but the Lord's, right? Soon after his victory over Jericho, and the next city on the list, the next one they had to conquer was the city of Ai. And Joshua said, "Okay, let's send some spies up. Let's take a look at this city. Let's plan a strategy." And the spies went up and the spies came back and they said, "It's a small city. The people there aren't that strong. We don't need to trouble all the armies of Israel. We don't need to tire them all out with the march up there and the siege of the city. Just send 2,000 or 3,000. That'll take care of it, no problem." But no one bothered to ask the Lord. No one bothered to find out if this was his way. And so a couple thousand men from Israel went up and very quickly came running back in defeat. And Joshua tore his clothes and his hair and laid down before the Lord. What happened? I thought we were doing the right thing. And the answer came back from the Lord, Israel has sinned. It's usually exactly when we think we've got it covered. It's usually exactly when we think we know the right thing to do and have the plan laid out before us in our own wisdom, thinking we can take care of this, just like Paul thought, just like Joshua thought. It's often exactly at that point when we are found to be the greatest sinners, opposing God's will, and are most in need of repentance and coming to the Lord with that repentance, saying, Not my will, not my plan, but yours. What must I do, Lord? Lest we find that we have wasted our lives, not only in vain works, but maybe even worse, in sinful things. Such repentance is, of course, not something that we can do or accomplish on our own. It takes the power of the Lord. And you see what great power it took to change Saul's heart. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun. The voice of the Lord. 3 days of blindness and fasting. The power of the Lord at work through his word to change the hearts of Saul. Repentance is a gift from Christ for Saul and for us as well. A gift that he gives us through his word. And the necessary first step to a life dedicated to him. Another important aspect of a life that actually accomplishes something worthy of God's praise, a life actually lived following his way, is learning how to listen when the Lord speaks, isn't it? And we see that, of course, with Saul. What must I do? And in his repentance, now he's actually willing to listen to what Jesus has to say. And we see it also with Ananias. We know from our text that Ananias knew exactly why Saul was coming to Damascus. He knew that he was coming. He knew why he was coming. He knew he had the authority to take the Christians bound back to Jerusalem. And do you think that maybe Ananias was spending some time in prayer to the Lord? Save us from this man, Saul, probably. And if Ananias wasn't, surely many of the other Christians in Damascus were praying, Lord, save us from this man, Saul. And the Lord answered their prayers, but in a way entirely different from what they were expecting. They probably thought, stop him from coming. Make sure the ruler doesn't allow him to take us captive. Allow us to hide from him. They probably thought something along that lines. And yet here comes God in answer to the prayer saying, no, I've got a better plan. I'm not going to stop him. I'm going to convert him and bring him to our side and bring him to our team. And Ananias, you're the one who's going to go talk to him. And Ananias is a little bit concerned, a little bit afraid, isn't he? We could understand that. Are you sure? Are you sure, Lord? He came here to destroy us, and now you want me to go and talk to him? But although he objects at first, Ananias, after the Lord explains, has the faith, has the strength of heart to go and do what the Lord asks of him. He recognizes this as the answer to his prayer, even though it's a very different answer from what he was expecting. And he has the faith and strength to hear God's word and to fulfill it in his life. There are many times in our lives when we probably know exactly what God's will is for us, what he wants us to do, but we're afraid or shy or reluctant to fulfill it. Is this really the best way, we say to God, just as Ananias said? That faith and strength and courage of heart to go forward and do the will of the Lord once we know what it is, and that, of course, takes studying the scripture, is also a gift from the Lord. A gift that God gave to Ananias, making him strong in his word, and a gift that he gave to Saul now in his repentance, a gift that he gives to us through his word. And finally, of course, then, having received from the Lord the truth and the knowledge and the joy of his resurrection, having received from him the gift of repentance and the gift of faith and the strength of heart, we need to go and do the tasks that the Lord has set before us. And the Lord has set before each of us tasks. He has filled our lives with tasks by which we can show our service to him. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has already prepared good works, tasks, and set them in front of you, that you might do them, that you might have some part in his kingdom and in the work of spreading the gospel. Jesus, with his power, brought Saul to repentance. Jesus, through his power, gave Saul the gift of baptism and new life, filled him with his Holy Spirit. And being filled with that Holy Spirit, was our text say that Saul went and immediately preached Christ. Immediately went and set about the work or the task that Christ had laid in front of him. Saul easily could have come up with many excuses to put it off. I just became a Christian. I need time to study. I need time to learn. But the Lord had given him a task, and he went about it. He did the task the Lord had set before him. God has given us also his word, his forgiveness, and his power, and set tasks before us. Perhaps you've heard some sayings along the line of, do what you can and God will take care of the rest. Or, God helps those who help themselves. These are popular parables or sayings, whatever you want to call them. But they are contrary to what we learn in our text today. These sayings would imply that if you dedicate yourself to God, if you begin the task, if you set out and by your strength do what you can, God will bless you and fill in where you can't. Our text shows us the opposite, doesn't it? The text shows us that it is all Jesus. It begins with him. He brings us repentance. He gives us strength. He washes us in the waters of baptism and makes us new people. It is Jesus who opens Saul's eyes to recognize his sin that sends him to Damascus. It's all his grace. It's not do what you can and God will fulfill the rest. It's God will begin. God will fill you with his grace and his strength, and then you will be able to go out and do the tasks that God has set before you. It begins with Christ. It's all about him and his grace, yet nevertheless, God's grace is not an excuse for our laziness and our sin, is it? At the same time, we recognize that it all has to come from Christ. We also recognize that that's not a reason to sit around twiddling our thumbs saying, oh, the Lord will take care of it in his own time. The Lord has filled us with his grace. He has set tasks before us. Let us learn in repentance to say, Lord, what must I do? And hearing his answer, be strong, courageous to go forth in the power of his forgiveness. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.